Welcome to episode 373. A challenging part of Mother Nature is that sometimes the conditions aren't right to bring a baby into the world, and therefore you can't get pregnant, or sadly, a miscarriage might occur. They occur at such an alarming rate of 23 million miscarriages worldwide, which translates to 44 pregnancy losses per minute, and that's only the ones that are recorded. On today's episode, I talk with a fellow practitioner about her own miscarriage and the emotional roller coaster that she and her partner went on in dealing with this. And as a part of that dealing with and healing, it involved magic mushrooms and psilocybin. And we talk about how that helped so significantly, along with many other things. So if you or your friend or your daughter or your partner have ever experienced a miscarriage, then this episode is absolutely for you. And or for them. And then towards the end of the conversation, we also have some tips, suggestions, and insights for anyone wanting to work online as a health professional or coach. So if you're considering getting into this space of podcasts and business and online health, well, a little bit of that at the end of this too. So let's dive in.
Welcome to the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. You've tuned in because you want to start taking your health seriously so you don't, well, get sick and die. Here we talk all things health, nutrition, and human optimization. Let's jump into it with your host and resident scientist, Maddie Lansdowne.
What's up, my healthy friends? Welcome to this episode. Thanks for being here to make Maddie's podcast great again. Due to a recent algorithm change by Apple Podcast, we and the entire podcast industry experienced an abrupt dip in the numbers, which actually cost a few marketing companies a few million dollars. But we're back. So much so that in 2024, it's my mission to coach 500 people to get control of their sugar cravings and sugar binges so they can stop yo-yo dieting, stop obsessing about food, and finally create a body that they feel confident being in. And here with me today to help propel that mission and all of the healthy missions into the stratosphere is an old friend from way back. Samantha Gladish is back all the way from Canada and all the way from episode 143, where we talked about detoxing from the pill, the oral contraceptive pill. So go back and check that out when you're done here. If you're a woman or you've had the pill or you've got daughters on the pill, it's worth a listen. And so in case you've had a sleep since episode 143, let me give you the scoop. Samantha is a hormone nutritionist with a specialty in metabolic and thyroid health, and she also authored the Amazon bestseller, The 30-Day Hormone Solution, and is the host of one of Canada's top-rated health podcasts called The Wellness Witch. She's the founder of the famous website holisticwellness.ca, which is a website dedicated to helping women optimize their health and their hormones. And after crushing it in her own online health and hormone practice, she is now also a business coach and mentor for people similar to me, I guess, online health and wellness nerds that want to help more people get healthy and grow their business and their impact. And finally, in her spare time, you can find her baking up delicious, healthy treats in her kitchen and getting woo-woo with tarot cards, plant medicine, and diving into spiritual growth. Samantha, welcome back.
Thank you, Maddie. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you back. You're such a lovely energy. And even though it's been ages since we spoke, I feel like, you know, no time has passed at all.
I agree. You are just the most amazing human. I love it. I love chatting with you. And I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So what's been going on since we caught up in like the health world, the business world? Like, where are you at?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that was quite a few years ago when we connected. And it's crazy how quickly the time passes.
Yeah.
And I've just been doing all of the things. I have been coaching a lot of practitioners and wellness coaches in my business mentorship program, which is so exciting. And just been running lots of different nutrition programs as well. We were kind of chatting just before we were recording how I don't think I'll ever be able to stop sharing about health and well-being and nutrition and cooking and baking. Like, it's just such a part of who I am, right? As I'm sure it's very similar with you. You know, it's just how you live your life and you naturally want to share that with other people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, all of the things, the plant medicine, the woo-woo, that continues to be a thing for sure. Yeah, there's been all kinds of fun stuff going on.
Do you find as you get older and more experienced and all of those kinds of things, do you find you get more woo-woo or less woo-woo?
I personally,
yeah,
I get more woo-woo.
What do you think that's about?
I don't know. I think it's just, you go through these different phases of looking for like healing modalities or things that are just going to allow you to learn better, more about yourself and just like personal growth, right? And it's like, okay, I dove into that world of nutrition and supplementation and lifestyle and all of that. So then it just kind of goes from there and kind of spirals into, well, what's next? Like, what else can I explore about myself, about my femininity, about my spirituality? What does that look like that I haven't explored before? And that just kind of cracked me open to a whole new world of plant medicine and tarot cards. Although I've kind of always been very much interested in it since I was a little girl. So like horoscopes and astrology and tarot, like I was always very much in it and kind of dabbled in it. But I think just as I got older and felt very grounded and secure and confident in who I am, that allowed me to dive a little bit deeper into things like plant medicine and whatnot.
So what's your horoscope? What are you?
Oh, I'm a Taurus.
Oh.
The stubborn bull.
Stubborn bull, yes.
My husband is as well.
Oh, as well. Oh,
yeah.
So that's when you clash, you really clash.
Oh, God. And like, I'm stubborn, but he's really stubborn. And we are also both projectors in human design.
Yeah.
So, which is very interesting. So, yeah, a lot of commonalities there, but I'm a Taurus. So, and it's interesting because with Taurus, we're very much into food. And I'm very much into food. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. I'm a Leo. And I was born on a date that's significant to a story I want to talk to you about.
Oh,
significant to you. Significant to you.
Okay. Okay.
Because I was born on Lionsgate Portal.
I was like, I knew it. I was going to say it before you even said it.
8th of the 8th is my birthday. So
that's a wicked birthday. I have a girlfriend who was born on Lionsgate.
Is she lucky?
Is she lucky? She's a pretty lucky human. Absolutely.
Every time I go to an acupuncturist or a Chinese medicine doctor for whatever reason, they're like, oh, very lucky, very lucky.
I love that. That is a lucky day for sure. Lionsgate, it's a powerful, powerful day to be born on for sure. I was born on May 4th. So everybody says to me, May the 4th be with you.
It's like all every the Star Wars
year.
Nerds.
I'm like, oh my God. I hear it every single year. Yeah.
Are you sick of it yet?
A little bit, but it's also kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah. So you've mentioned a few times, like the plant medicine in the woo-woo kind of stuff. So
yeah,
and I was listening to your podcast, sort of getting up to date on everything Sam. There were some pretty big episodes in regards to your personal life and your shares and things that I thought no one was talking about, which is not often that I say that because both of us are deep in this holistic world where there's a lot of people talking about really controversial stuff.
For sure.
Right. And so I've never really come across an episode where you talked about what you talked about, and I'm sort of leaving people on a cliffhanger a bit there.
Yes.
But mushroom journeys, how have they impacted your life? Like, and yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know you're referring to the miscarriage and mushroom episode. Yes,
yes.
Which everyone can definitely go and listen to that episode. It's a really powerful one for sure. And we could always dive a little bit deeper into that story. But specifically with mushrooms, my journey started about 4-ish, 5 years ago, actually, with mushrooms. And I did a journey actually at home. My husband did one and I was kind of like his sitter for his journey. And then the following weekend I did it. And then he was my sitter for my journey. And it was just one of those amazing experiences that really kind of cracked me open to some of my gifts. I started channeling during my first mushroom experience.
Wow.
And I was channeling this other woman that was coming through and was just sharing all of these stories and messages with me. And as my husband was sitting there, she was telling me to tell him to write these things down and to, and we're going to go and like share it with people. And it was very wild. It was very wild. I don't share the story too often. And as I've gone deeper into plant medicine and had experiences with like ayahuasca and whatnot, that voice has come back multiple times, but I have felt really hesitant to like fully open to it or accept it, I guess you could say, that I've kind of pushed it away, where a lot of my friends are like, this is something you really need to lean into. Like, this is a gift and you can channel and, you know, these messages can come through. And I was just like, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet, actually. But it's been a really beautiful experience for sure. But it's just kind of opened me up to just these other parts of us that I feel sometimes are not so accessible in sort of the quote unquote 3D realm. Mm. And once you kind of, you know, can dissolve from that realm and you can enter into almost this other portal, you can just access so much more about yourself and learn so much more about yourself and see the world in such a different way. And also just mushrooms are so connected to obviously nature. And
yeah,
when you think about how they grow and they're connectors, they're super connectors, you know, underneath the earth, they are literally sending these messages to each other and supporting each other, and they're connecting their roots to each other. And that's just another part of feeling very connected to the earth and to nature and to humanity overall. So that's kind of, you know, some of what it's really opened me up to.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, mushrooms and mycelium are so fascinating. The way that they distribute nutrients to plants that are, you know, not doing so well or need more of something, like, it's just so incredible. You've probably heard this before, but the study that they did where they mapped out the Tokyo subway system, and they put some mycelium at the start of the subway, and within 24 hours, the mycelium had found all the nutrients which were placed at each one of the stations and rerouted the entire subway system to the most efficient version of transport possible in 24 hours.
Oh my God.
How crazy is that?
That is wild and beautiful and just, oh my God, that's amazing.
It's so cool.
I love
cool.
that. I didn't
so
know cool. that. Thanks for sharing that with me.
No, that's totally fine. But you know, since we caught up, I've done a bunch of mushroom ceremonies as well. I guess, you know, sort of proper ceremonial things probably 3 times and sort of some little microdosing kind of things in my own company, basically. But yeah, the learning about yourself is so huge. And I think the thing that I love about it is that I get to look at myself and things in my life and other people's lives from, I thought I was non-judgmental until I looked at it through the lens of taking psilocybin. And it's like another level of non-judgment. And it just feels for me and for anyone listening, the journey is different every single time and for every single person.
Yes.
But it feels like I'm looking through the eyes of almost a curious child and even traumatic, horrible things that I'm maybe going, like reflecting on in my mind. I'm like, oh my God, that's so interesting, you know, rather than any like resent or regret or whatever might be there. And it's just it's been such a useful tool for me to be able to explore difficult memories or attachments through just like this childlike curiosity, as opposed to holding on to all the thoughts that I really want to let go of, but obviously not really, because otherwise I would have let go of them. But
I love that. And it's like looking at yourself and your life with just so much more love and acceptance.
One of the mantras that came out of one of those experiences that I give to clients all the time now, and it has probably already been a mantra before I came up with it, but was just that I'm a human having a human experience, you know, and I find a lot of solitude in that. And just the idea that it's like, oh, it's okay to be here and it's okay to suck and it's okay to be a bit pissed off about something irrationally because you're a human.
Absolutely. So, give yourself some grace and some compassion.
Like you mentioned, the episode Miscarriages and Mushrooms, like firstly, obviously terribly sad that, you know, you had to go through that experience of having a miscarriage, but also just huge respect to the way that you shared that journey. And
thank you.
You know, obviously as a man, I couldn't even fathom what you went through at all. But at the same time, I'm in the world of women's health, you know, as my day-to-day for many years. And I was just really like, wow, I don't think I've ever heard many people talk about this. And what was interesting too is that when I went on one of my mushroom journeys with a group of people and people that I did not know, in one of them, there was a woman who had had an abortion at a much younger age, and she went and reconnected and healed that guilty part of herself.
Ah, beautiful.
And when I was listening to yours, although it's obviously not the same, but there was just that, like, it reminded me of that conversation. And I thought, how many women would be able to heal from the sadness or the regret or the guilt or whatever it might be by going on some type of plant medicine journey. But yeah, if you're comfortable to talk about that stuff,
I'd love to chat
about that journey, because I just think so many women must have been through some kind of miscarriage. And yeah, it just seems like this thing that nobody talks about.
It's so true. It's so true. And, you know, I'm at such a place where I'm very complete with it. So I'm definitely okay to chat about it and share about it. And it's so common, you know, it's so common, and women can feel so alone in that process. And it was one of the reasons why I wanted to share it, because it's like, I know I'm not the only one. And I know that this episode is going to support and heal so many other women, which is why I wanted to share it. Mm-hmm. And it really did. The amount of beautiful messages that I received after that, oh my God, it was so heartwarming and just like, oh, it was so touching. And that was it. Even if one woman had just sent me a message, it was like, okay, like that was the point of this, you know, to help someone else not feel so alone in their journey. And so that's why I wanted to share it. And the reason it's called Miscarriage and Mushrooms, just to clarify, is because I do host a psychedelic mushroom retreat. And unfortunately, but also fortunately and divine timing, I had my miscarriage while I had to host my 4-day mushroom retreat.
As I was listening to you talk about that, I was like, how did you keep it together for everybody else? That's so impressive.
Yeah. And, you know, there's definitely moments in life where you're just like, that's a hard no, you know, like, okay, I can't show up for this, but I had to show up for that. I could not leave women who were flying in and traveling to, you know, be on psychedelics and just be like, hey, peace out, I'm out. So, you know, that was not going to happen. There had to be a level of integrity there to show up.
For sure.
And I had an amazing co-facilitator and support. So, and what beautiful way to experience this loss around 10 women who are so heart-centered and intuitive, and they were bringing me healing, and it was meant to be. It was just meant to be. So, you know, again, it just worked out the way that it was meant to. So I just wanted to clarify that. So if anyone wants to, you know, learn or hear more about the story, they can always listen to that episode. And so obviously it was a really hard experience, and just getting pregnant, I mean, that was a surprise. We weren't really planning. And it was very unexpected. And so I was 40, you know, when it happened, and got surprise pregnant. And then 9.5 weeks later, I had my miscarriage. And so I was pregnant in July of last year. And then mid-September had the miscarriage. And it was interesting because, first of all, I didn't plan to get pregnant, but then I did. And that just opened me up to, number one, fear, confusion, you know, just all of that was kind of hitting me at first. And then I worked through that and just really settled into this love and this joy and this excitement. And so then, of course, when you lose it, you're just like, oh my God, right? And then you're just like, yeah, I really do want this. And it was such an emotional roller coaster. It was just such an emotional roller coaster. Like, I felt so out of body, and like I really didn't have control of my emotions. And I kind of, in a way, didn't, because my hormones were just kind of all over the place. And of course, I was sad and I was grieving. And, you know, even like 2 months after it had happened, and I kind of felt like a little bit more settled and grounded, and kind of felt like, you know, but just better. It just, moments would just come up and I would just be crying. And it was just like, wow, like, what I learned through that process is how little time we give ourselves to really heal through some big things. And I think a lot of us just rush through things, and we don't give ourselves the time to like really grieve and really be sad, because those are kind of icky emotions.
Yeah.
Right? And like, we just want to like brush it off, and we want to move through it and move past it. But I had to really give myself the time. And so pretty much from September, and I would say to the beginning of this year till January, like it was so hard for me to show up. Mm-hmm. And there were, you know, different commitments and things that I had to, but I really kept it to a minimum and like really honored my body. And I just needed to give myself the time for sure. And it's not even like it ever goes away, because that's a piece of you. Like, well, it's a piece of me that's always gonna, it's always gonna be there. It's always gonna live with me, right? But you just get to a point where you do feel very complete with it. And I think that if you bypass that and bypass those emotions, then you can feel very incomplete with it. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, a real reminder to women is like, give yourself the time and the space and the grace to heal. And your body's going through a massive transition. Like that is a massive trauma to the body that I don't think a lot of women realize. And it's just like, oh, okay, it happens. A couple of days go by. Oh, I'm back to work. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and historically speaking, I mean, one of the things that I often talk about when we talk about life expectancy is that a lot of people think that the health system got better and so people live longer. Mm. And one of the things that's amazing about, you know, modern healthcare is that we actually stopped babies dying. That's how the average life expectancy went up, is that, you know, because it used to be women would either miscarry or have the baby die at birth like 50% of the time. Like if you go back in history and learn right. about famous couples or whatever, she'll have had 20 babies and you know, like 7 of them made it. And so it's, you know, modern healthcare is incredible. But the point that I'm getting to is that, like, it's not uncommon, you know,
yeah.
that this experience to have a miscarriage or a situation where a baby maybe doesn't make it is incredibly common. And that's why I really wanted to, you know, with your support, bring light to this conversation, because, you know, I've got so many clients that have been through this kind of experience. And I think you're right in what you say about not giving enough space to grieve. I would say that universally, like with the Western culture.
For sure. Know,
yeah. We're just rushing through like, oh, that's sad. Yep. I cried one time. Okay. Get on with it.
Yeah.
And that might've been the case historically as well, because you know that that's just part of life.
Right.
So I think, yeah, like, normalizing this kind of conversation, because I think, and maybe you can tell me your perspective or what you, the conversations you've had, but as a woman, you know, and if we think biologically from a biological purpose and maybe mm-hmm. for religious people, you know, from another perspective, but fundamentally, I see my role as a man, right? That like what we're going to do is procreate the species, you know, right. as a, and I'm a biologist and all of the things. And so I think about it like that. But does it feel like on some level, like your purpose as a human being, you've gotten it wrong or you've failed, like on some deep level? Like, I'm curious to play with that idea.
I never felt that.
Okay, that's good.
I never felt that. Yeah, I never had that feeling at all. Yeah, no, I never did. Mm-hmm. And but I'm sure many women do.
Mm.
And I think that, like, I never thought about having children, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. It was something that would come up in conversation every now and again. My husband would kind of, you know, him and I would go back and forth and chat about it, but it was not something we'd like truly committed to. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think for many women, they know they want to be a mother.
Yeah.
And then, so then to go through loss and miscarriage, I can understand why they might feel like that feeling of, yeah, I failed or something's wrong, or,
yeah,
you know, this is my only purpose and it's, why isn't it happening? And like really have those questions and almost kind of feel that shame around it.
Oh, for sure. Because I know, yeah. I feel like I can predictably, I know myself well enough to know that if I was trying to have kids and found out that my sperm quality was the problem, I'd be like, oh my God, like the point of being here, I can't even get that right. Everything's a mess.
right. Yeah.
I feel like there'd be, and I've got mates actually, some male friends that are going on IVF journeys, a couple of them that are having that kind of experience. I've had conversations with them where, yeah, like they feel like sort of failures on some level for not being able to, you know, provide the goods like the men should, you know?
For sure. And I can understand that. I can understand why that would be something that would come up for sure. But it was just never a part of my story.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. Interesting too that you sort of work with hormones and fertility and had never really thought about having kids.
Mm-hmm. And from a young age, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I've kind of felt like I was always the outcast with my friends because they all wanted to get married and have kids and I did not.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I ended up getting married much later in life and then mm-hmm. we just, yeah, never really had that conversation about children. And then, you know, even now, since it has all happened, we still go back and forth about like, do we, you know, do we not? And There are, in full transparency, there are moments where it feels like a heck yes, and then there are moments where it feels like no. And quite frankly, I mean, what has happened since having my miscarriage, I mean, I'm 41 now. And so I had that when I had my miscarriage when I was 40, and that was in September of last year. And so for 3 months, I didn't have my period, which is very normal. And I just, you know, expected that it was going to take a little bit of time for my period to come back. And it did come back in December. And then that cycle between December and January was a little bit longer than usual. And then in February, it was a very short cycle. And so, and naturally, like my hormones, my body was trying to find its equilibrium again. And in February, I started to experience hot flashes, night sweats, heart palpitations.
Oh, perimenopause stuff.
Yes. Oh my God. I gained 10 pounds in a matter of 2.5 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hear these stories often from women where they're like, I didn't change anything. Like, I'm still working out. I'm eating really well. And all of a sudden, this weight came on, these hot flashes, this, you know, and it's just like, you feel like you wake up one day and you got hit by like a Mack truck and you're like, what is happening? And so I went through all of those symptoms. And luckily, they didn't last very long, but it was still very uncomfortable. And then, you know, had a period in February and then 75 days before I got another period.
Right.
And so I know that I'm in my perimenopausal years, but I never expected to experience the symptoms of perimenopause at 41.
That's so young.
Or 40, right? Like I'm thinking mid to late 40s is when maybe some of this is going to start showing up for me. But the resiliency, the hormone resiliency of your body at 40 and having a miscarriage compared to having a miscarriage at 30, you know, that bounce back, it's very different.
So picture this, right? Unlocking your potential, conquering emotional eating, and gaining insights directly from a health and nutrition expert such as myself. That's what we do inside the Healthy Mums Collective Facebook group, which is currently free to join. If you've ever felt trapped by food challenges, struggled with maintaining a healthy lifestyle, or yearned for a community that understands the reasons why you've yo-yo dieted for years, then there's a new chapter waiting to be written. And this is your chance to start writing it by joining us all on Facebook Lives, on engaging posts that push you out of your comfort zone and into growth, and Q&A sessions with me. All of this works as a platform to begin changing your emotional eating problems for good. Oh, and also, as a special gift, you'll receive my transformative How to Turn Food into Self-Confidence ebook. And that's also for free. I get it. Skepticism might linger. You might think, Maddie, I've heard these ads and I'm not sure. Well, at least a quarter of the members inside the Healthy Mums Collective Facebook group have been paying clients of my emotional eating program at some point over the last 3 or 4 years. So if you're not sure, you can post in the group and ask to find out if I'm the real deal or not. It's totally up to you. To join us in the free Healthy Mums Collective and to end your emotional eating and feel good in your own skin and begin that journey, pop down to the show notes below, click the link and breeze through 3 simple entry questions. Join today and let's embark on a journey of growth and empowerment. The link is in the show notes below.
Well, anything over 35, they call a geriatric. The word geriatric pregnancy.
Oh my God, I know. When I went in for an appointment and I'm like, you need to use another word.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not going to use that word.
Totally.
It's so wild.
Like, I think about my grandmother when I hear the word geriatric.
Totally. Totally. So, you know, just circling back to just like kids and if, you know, what that journey looks like for us now, for me right now, it's just like, I just wanted my cycle back and feel good again and really support my body during this phase because I'm in perimenopause. And so it's just like, oh man, to like add a baby on top of, you know, all of this kind of hormonal up and down that I'm going through right now, is that what I really want to do? So right now it's not feeling like this priority, but that could definitely shift. And I'm also not hung up on my age and being 41. I know so many women who get pregnant in their, you know, early to late 40s. And so whatever is meant to be is meant to be. And I just really trust that.
Yeah, beautiful. I'm curious the experience, if you feel comfortable sharing it, of your partner through this journey. And yeah, as what his perspective might have been or how he went emotionally through this kind of the scenario that played out.
Because
I know that when it happened, you weren't actually together.
Correct. Yeah. And that was the hardest thing. That was, I mean, really one of the hardest things for me. and for him. And of course, he had asked to like, okay, I'm coming up. I'm coming to see you. Like, I'm driving up there. And it was just one of those moments of like, it's a 3-hour drive and I have so much on my mind with all the things I have to run right now that like, it's okay. Like if I really needed you, I would 100% tell you like no hesitation, come right now. But I felt so supported. I felt so supported. My girlfriend, Lauren, was such a gift. She is such a gift. She's so beautiful holding that space for me. And you know, the people who own the retreat space and every, like it was, I felt so supported. And I did not tell any of the women, any of the guests for our retreat. Nobody knew because I was like, they are not here for this. They are here for their own journeys and their own healing. And I'm not going to get in the way of that. So I did not share it with anybody. And they actually only found out because of that podcast episode. So they had no idea. But
did they reach out after they heard it?
They did. Yes, absolutely. I was sent all sorts of love, which is really beautiful. But yeah, he, you know, he went through his own grieving period, of course. And obviously that looks very different for him because from a hormonal standpoint, he didn't, you know, physically experience it, but still such a deep connection to what could have been and being a father and having a family. So yeah, he definitely, he went through his own grieving and at the same time with such grace and being able to hold that space for me too, which was really beautiful.
Yeah. I'm curious, although obviously we can't speak for all humans listening, but a lot of people come to this podcast because they want to get better at things, right? So because this type of thing is somewhat common in women, but also probably daughters of people listening that, you know,
for sure.
So a question that I wanted to ask or to discuss was, what advice do you have for people that are around other people experiencing this? Like, what is the way that men and other women can support the women in their life going through this? Because men are notoriously bad at supporting women through anything emotional.
Right.
but like, what do you think, loosely speaking, is some good advice for supporting people to do, to behave, to say around someone going through this kind of experience?
That's a really great question. I think more than anything is just being a good listener. I think that that's what's really important is I know we often want to fix things for others and it's not anything to be fixed. So I think if anything, it's just allowing your friend, your partner, whomever it is, just to share, just to really let it out and share what is on their mind and what is on their heart.
Yeah.
And being able to sit there and just really be a listener and holding space. And that's what that really means in terms of holding space is just be able to sit there and listen without feeling like you need to interject and fix or question something or change something or coach someone. Just sit and listen, like hold the space and hug them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually isn't very complicated. Yeah.
That's good universal advice for men.
Agreed.
You don't need to fix everything all of the time.
It's true.
It's funny, even though I work in this space of like, you know, emotional eating and exclusively with women and I'm having some sometimes very heavy emotional conversations and listening.
For sure.
Even in my own personal relationships, I still feel within my body the desire to go into fix mode. Like,
of course,
that masculine, like, but let's get this part and this part and this part. And then bam, we're done. We're sorted, you know?
Yeah.
And then I have to be like, I have to just like talk that part of myself down for some reason, not with clients, but definitely in my like personal and private life. I'm like, it's like I'm off work. So I'm like back into normal man mode.
Hilarious. Well, I mean, that's just the coach in you, you know, it's, I get that. I fully understand that because we are coaches and this is, you know, what we do for a living. And so, especially with my parents, and I don't know if this is something that you experience, like always wanting to be like, well, you should do this and you need to eat this and you need to do, you know, take better care of yourself. I'm just like harping on them. And I did that for years until finally it was like, I'm just going to sit here and listen. And I'm only going to interject if they ask me to.
Yeah.
And that was just such an aha moment. And I felt so liberated. And now even the dynamic of like when we're together and I'm hanging around them is so different because I do not interject.
Yeah.
It's like, you want to vent, you want to complain, even though I have all the answers to really help you. I'm just going to listen to you. It's fine. Just complain. And they will sit there for 20 minutes complaining. And I just nod my head and I smile and I hold the space and I listen. And again, if they ask me for my advice or my suggestions, then I will speak. But otherwise, just keep my mouth shut.
I'm pretty lucky. So my parents will probably listen to this episode.
Amazing.
Like, yeah, they listen to a lot of my podcasts. And
I love that.
And I think this is where I get it from, which I didn't really realize at a much younger age, but they just respond to information very quickly. And so, you know, over the last sort of maybe 6 or 7 years now, you know, I sort of went from working in a cancer hospital as a mainstream scientist to, you know, basically full hippie. And I just received some naturopathic clinical textbooks like in the mail from Amazon this morning. And so, but my parents are great. They're just very responsive. And in that period of time, they've sort of, you know, my dad's running marathons now and like they're into health and wellness, and there's not really bread in the house, and there's not really, you know, they don't really binge eat crap anymore. And I grew up with them being super busy, and every night they would do like wine and crisps and chips. Like that was like an everyday kind of thing.
Yeah.
Nah, they're so healthy now. And yeah, which I'm super proud of them. But then I realized
That's amazing.
Maybe they've always been like this because I am very responsive to new information as well. So maybe that's where I got it.
Well, it sounds like you were kind of leading by example.
Well, hopefully. Yes. But no, they're great. They're great. So
I love that. Oh, that's so great. I love that. Yeah. My mother used to just take Dr. Oz's advice, you know, the show Dr. Yeah. And she would just watch Dr. Oz and then phone me up and be like, Dr. Oz talked about this fiber thing. And I'm like, yeah, flaxseed that I've been telling you to take for like 5 years. Sure, mom. If Dr. Oz says it's okay, then you should do it. Yeah.
Dr. Oz is the go-to guy. Yeah. I wonder, I mean, it's a very different world in America compared to maybe Australia and possibly Canada. I'm not sure, but he's been sued a lot of times.
You know, I don't know. I don't know the stories.
Yeah. I think it's just, you know, because people like that get so whimsical with their marketing language.
Right.
And so a lot of people have taken him to court over, what do you mean by this thing is magic? Like, you know. So, but anyway. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about was this transition from working with nutrition and health and wellness into being the more business coach, which is probably a conversation that's pretty new to the listeners. But the reason I'm curious about that is because you were saying before that you reached a point after 20 years of doing this that you were just felt like, whoa, I need to take some space for this. But why did you feel called to help people like me, basically, to like figure out the business side of things?
Yeah, well, I became so interested in the marketing. Like when I was starting my business online 10 years ago, you know, I've been coaching for 20 years, but I started my online business about 10 years ago, give or take. And I became just as much a marketer as I was a nutritionist, as I'm sure you were experiencing that yourself.
Yeah. Whenever somebody says like, so what does the day-to-day look like for you? And I say 90% of my time every week is marketing.
Marketing. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just became so like immersed in that, in the marketing, in the email marketing, in ads and copywriting and sales pages and funnels. And it actually became very fun to me. And thank God it became fun to me because I had to do it pretty much every day. And so I just really immersed myself in learning all that I could learn and was scaling my business and had a lot of practitioners that were just reaching out and asking for support. And how did I do this thing? And how did I launch this? And how am I getting clients? And, you know, once you have like a handful of people that keep asking you the same question, that's where it just kind of opened up for me. Like, okay, I think practitioners and wellness coaches really need some support around this. And so I initially, I think it was about 4 or so years ago, I kind of launched like, I call it my, like the underground business program because I didn't publicly announce it. And I was like, really, I don't know why I was just keeping it like so secretive. And it was just very underground. And I had reached out to a handful of practitioners and kind of took them under my wing and was coaching them over just like a course of, you know, 12 weeks and just really supporting them in their business. And then, and it was just so much fun. And it was so much fun. And they just had these amazing wins and successes and ahas and just didn't, there were things that they just don't know. You know, when you don't know things, obviously, yeah. It feels, especially in your business, right? Like, it just all feels so hard, right? There's like a whole learning curve. There's a whole new language to learn when it comes to marketing. And yeah. just a lot of coaches aren't interested in kind of diving into that space. And, you know, having this kind of mentality of, I can just simply show up and mm-hmm. people will buy my stuff. And then you realize that doesn't actually work, you know? So just really teaching them the basics and the foundations and just seeing them have these wins just really lit me up. And so anyhow, that then expanded into, you know, bigger programs and my mentorship, and now have coached like hundreds of practitioners. And it's just been really exciting to see their growth and actually teach them that it's not an overnight success.
Oh and, my God. Yeah.
You know, and to run away from marketers who are going to guarantee you six figures in 6 weeks. And, you know, like, let's really pull back the curtain and learn what this is about and really how to build systems and structure in your business so that you can have flexibility, so you can have freedom. Yeah. So it's just been really exciting to really dive into that world.
Yeah. That old adage of build it and they will come doesn't work anymore. Like, no. You know, a lot of people feel like, yeah, because I've created something that I think is valuable means that other people will, one, think it's valuable, which might be true, but two, right. find it on the internet. How are they going to find it on the internet? The internet is enormous.
Totally. Totally. And then you also have a lot of practitioners who don't want to be visible, you know, and just yeah. getting over that hump of showing up and sharing and yeah. and just finding that self-esteem and that confidence that takes time to build. It really does. And totally. I think when you're also very uncertain of like who you're helping and what you're doing and how you help them, like you don't even know what to say when you show up, right? So yeah. it's like, you kind of have to learn that first and like feel confident in what you're offering and like, let's work through that. And who do you want to serve and help? And then that's going to kind of give you a little bit more clarity and confidence to show up and talk about it. But
yeah,
I've definitely had coaches who are like, I will not go on Instagram. Like, I will not go on a video. I'm just, yeah, it is not happening. And I'm like, well, that's fine, but things might move really slow for you.
Yeah. And they move slow anyway, so.
They do. It does. It definitely does. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard work. It's hard work. Let's face it.
It's like anything that's worth doing, right?
100%.
It's hard work. And I think yeah. on that, you mentioned like the business coaches that are like six figures in 6 weeks. You know, I think in some ways, paying those people are like a rite of passage. It's like, at this point, and they weren't all bad. But I think my tally is at about $72,000 of coaches that did not work, like with a return of about $1,000 to $2,000 in total of that money spent.
Oh.
But what I did learn from a lot of those people is how what doesn't align with me in the sense that I don't want to do business that way.
For
it's
sure.
It's not that I don't want to work hard, but I yep. don't want to do business that way. And the idea that sometimes you've got to go towards ways of doing things that just vibe with your personality and energy. Like yes. for me, these podcasts, I can do these all day.
Right.
But the idea of carrying my phone around to be on Instagram stories all the time really right. like feels like a chore.
Right.
So I think, yeah, I've learned a lot of lessons about what not to do and how I don't want to do stuff.
For which sure.
It's really hard to pay lots of money for those lessons. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, I don't want to, that feels disproportionate to the lesson.
I fully relate. It has been a lot of money for sure yeah. investing yeah. into coaching. And I just, number one, I just really want to acknowledge you for the way that you view that, because it's true. It's not that you wasted this money. You learned something really massive about yourself and how you want to do something. And that's only going to propel you to move forward. So I have.
For sure.
I definitely can relate in terms of like, oh my, it's been over $150,000 at
yeah,
least,
wow.
at least. Yeah. And for sure, it has not all panned out the way that I was hoping it would. And that doesn't mean that it's a failure. And also it doesn't mean that I'm not going to invest moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I yeah. think that's what happens for a lot of people is like, I've spent X amount, it hasn't worked, so I'm just not going to do it. And it's just like, no, I continue to show up and know that there's always going to be something I'm going to learn. And sometimes that can be costly, but mm-hmm. there's always value that comes out of it.
You know what that's awesome about you as a business coach is, so one of the rules that I've learned going on this journey, and I know that there's probably, well, I know that people that I've been to uni with and stuff like that listen to this podcast, so maybe this advice is useful for them. But I learned that a lot of those people that are like, 100 grand in a month, you know, 50 grand months, what's your big goal? So after working with a bunch of those people, I decided for myself, I will never work with a coach again that is B2B only. So business selling to business, because the psychology of a business owner like you or I, that's like throwing numbers around like 150 grand or 70 grand, yeah. as opposed to a mum with kids, like the B2C is, the psychology is so different. And I just got so sick of these business owners throwing these business to business strategies at me. And I'm like, totally. These people, money really matters. Like they've only got a limited amount and it has to be spent wisely. And so
absolutely.
I was like, I'm never going to work with someone who's never done B2C themselves.
That's a great point. It's a great point. And I think it's probably why so many practitioners get drawn to our mentorship, because they're like, you're still in it. You have a podcast. You're still sharing on social media. You're still supporting, you know, you're still creating stuff in the nutrition space. Like I'm still so much in that world as much as I am in the business world. And so that's a really good point. And it's true. There's a disconnection there when it's only been B2B.
Yeah, totally. Plus it's kind of like gym bros, but they're like marketing bros. It's like the gym bros of the marketing world that are just like, fuck yeah, man. Like 100K, hiring Lambos, and you're just like, fuck off.
Totally. That does not vibe with me. Nor, like, luxury to me is like a chicken coop. And nature and being by like the lake or something. Yeah, for me, I'm just like, it is such simplicity.
Sounds beautiful. Yeah, I'm thinking like it's winter here. Today is actually the coldest day in Melbourne for the whole year.
What?
And so right now I'm thinking like cabin in the woods, like fire going, like that's luxury. That's the kind of vibe I want.
Yeah, I love that. Oh my God. And it's legit the hottest day here right now.
Really?
Like we have record breaking like heat wave this week. It's insane.
Yeah, right. So I have a couple of Canadian clients who roll their eyes when I whinge about how cold it is, because for them it's like negative 20 half of winter.
Totally.
Right. But for me today it's 1 degree.
Okay, you need to stop. You need to never talk about cold weather again.
I hate it. How hot is the hottest day?
It's like 36, 37 degrees right now, I think. Yeah, it's hot.
It's pretty warm.
It's hot. Yeah. It's uncomfortable out there. I was like so thirsty that I just kept drinking. Like I couldn't quench my thirst.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, you know it's hot when you just can't get that like quenched thirst. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's warm. That's warm.
Yeah.
So where can everybody find you on the internet and who's coming to find you? Like who are we sending where?
Yeah. Well, you can pretty much find everything on my website, holisticwellness.ca. So if you are interested in anything business related, it's there, or nutrition related, it's all there as well. Mm-hmm. And I hang out a lot on Instagram. I love it there. You can find me at I am Samantha Gladish. And I'm just sharing all the things, health and wellness and hormones and business and entrepreneurship. Just that's, yeah, all the things that I love to do and love to chat about, you'll find there. So
amazing. I'll put all of the links down in the show notes below, of course. So head over to Samantha's world and hang out because she's obviously awesome. And so before we finish, what is one piece of health information you wish more people knew about?
Okay. I know you prepped me for this one in the beginning.
It's hard to be prepped for this one.
It is really hard because, as you know, there's like a million and one things you want to share.
Totally.
But something that has really resonated with me over these past few years, and something that I've always seen to be a need for my clients over the years, is that less is more. Mm. And I think it's very easy to be caught up in a world right now where, as we know, social media is very saturated mm-hmm. and there's just so much information. And we are getting so caught in the external world of, you know, taking in, that I think we really lose this connection to our own intuition and what really our body is asking for. Like, we don't even know how to trust what our body is asking for anymore, because it's like, oh, so-and-so said this is good, but then so-and-so said this is bad, and then I should be doing this program and following this thing. And then it's just like, you become so overwhelmed with information that you are paralyzed to even move forward. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you just need to like cut it out and connect to yourself and like really tune in to what your body is telling you and like trust that and follow that, because it's never going to steer you wrong.
Yeah, I like that. I think in this modern world where we're all super wired all the time, the more space we can create, yeah, for calming down and resting the nervous system. And especially going through those perimenopausal and menopausal years, for sure.
Oh my God, yeah, your brain is like just your memory, your focus, all of the things. Totally. It feels very squirrel brain, that's for sure.
Amazing. Well, thanks for hanging out. It's so good to catch up again.
Thank you. I so appreciate being here.
No worries. Well, we'll catch you on the next episode, because we're not waiting that long until you come back again.
Awesome. That'd be great.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learnt anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast, simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.